is the Go Blue Crew. Hello and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, little pop quiz for you, okay? It's multiple choice.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's the scenario. You've had a little too much to drink, all right? Do you A, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a friend, an old-fashioned taxi? Do you B, get behind the wheel yourself and go crash your vehicle? There is no option C, A or B.
Option A is just packed full of options. It felt like a four-part option, all with great, you know. Option A, you
all
know,
excellent.
Hands down, 100%. If it was a Twitter poll, hopefully it would be 100%. Yeah, I mean, old school taxi, though, if I were to say, I'd say A.4. I think
old school. Does Ann Arbor have old school taxis?
Does Ann Arbor have Uber? Because now it's what you're alluding to, Denard Robinson. Sadly, we love Denard Robinson. That's what, two coaches in 2 months, a month? You know, it makes you wonder, does Ann Arbor have Uber or Lyft or, you know, any sort of...
We need an investigation. What's going on?
I mean, there's got to be a creepy, like, van that says taxi on top, right? Like, somebody's got a service.
Getting kidnapped is better.
Honestly, any white van that had a door open and said, need a ride, was probably the safer option.
Uh-huh. You might
now,
end up in
somebody's
basement.
Operating at 3 a.m., I think the conversation could turn to, what do you need to be doing, really at any age, to be honest? Even younger me, just like, you know, 2 a.m. was plenty.
Oh,
you
my
know,
God.
The bar
yeah.
closes down. What are you doing? Where are you coming from? Why do you need to drive at 3:30, whatever time it was? And I feel like both of these were, you know, very late. And also on a Sunday evening.
No, you can't be having a good time.
I mean, what's your role
that's what's
on the staff? You don't have to get up for anything on Monday.
I wondered the same thing.
That would make 3 o'clock just be a bad decision itself. It just kind of makes you wonder. I don't want to, you know, turn it to, you know, the new head coach, but that's two occasions, one with an actual on-field staffer and well, I guess they're all on-field, but one with an actual assistant coach role, another with an on-field staffer. Yeah, not good. And I think any sort of news other than, you know, driving while intoxicated, operating while under the influence, it'd be ideal not to have that. I'm sick of it.
I know my car is not with the program anymore, but I think he's the only other coach who it would have hit me pretty hard. Be like, no, not him. You know, because it feels like Denard Robinson just meant so much to us. You know, like growing up, those years for Michigan as a team wasn't very good. But, you know, there was always a Denard Robinson to look forward to. That's the other layer to this. It's just like that was somebody very easy to idolize. Felt like it was so easy to really like him as a player. And, you know, the person that you got to see through the, you know, his playing days and coming back as a coach. That was a secondary, like really disappointing part of that.
Yeah, I think the first thing when you see Denard Robinson, feel like you're naturally maybe more disappointed. It's like kind of weird to feel that way, but it's like here's a player, you know, from our, you know, childhood, high school. I mean, I was in college. I think you were probably in high school then. You know, like a vivid memory. And you bring up Mike Hart. I really, honestly, might be the only other even player I can think of, like. I think of like the Braylon Edwards story that came out where he saves the old man, or, you know, the Chad Henne backing up Patrick Mahomes. Like, you'd be disappointed to hear if either of those two guys, I guess, like got into some sort of, you know, drunk driving trouble. But it just, it hits a lot different maybe selfishly as a fan, when it's Denard Robinson, a guy who I think a lot of fans thought could be a replacement for a Mike Hart and wasn't considered. They, you know, they go out and get an Ohio State running back coach instead, which is, you know, odd in its own right. But yeah, I mean, plain and simple, no matter who it is, you know, a coach we don't know much about who was just hired, or, you know, a staple of a name for Michigan football, and Denard Robinson, like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't know. Maybe Ann Arbor police is just so much better at, like, reporting this stuff and getting it out to the public and, you know, trying to hold people accountable that way. And maybe other programs, this happens just as much and they're able to sweep it under the rug a little quicker. But I mean, it's just, it's disappointing. And yeah, I think just as disappointing that it's Denard Robinson more than anything.
Yeah. The timing is a little awkward here too, because Michigan spring game is on Saturday, and Michigan spring game no longer, you know, buried on the Big Ten Network or some kind of pay-per-view event. If it ever was that, I'm not sure. It's going to be on Fox, a national broadcast for some reason. I'm not totally sure, but
money.
That's good. Money. You're right. Anytime another answer doesn't immediately come to mind, just money, dollars. Yeah. There's the obvious thing, like, you're paying attention to how quarterbacks do. That'll be a little new for us this year as fans, you know, watching last season. There was obviously, you know, no question about, like, who the starter was going to be. Season before, you're trying to pick between J.J. McCarthy and Cade McNamara. Does it feel like we're kind of back to normal in that way? Like, paying super close attention to quarterbacks?
Yeah, normal in April. I guess not normal, because there's no, like, Jim Harbaugh. They're going to break the pool stick and fight for the job. You know, every man has a right to be the starter. Like, it's going to be a lot different with a Sharon Moore. And kind of where I think is, like, what's it more? Are we talking like a, you know, like a Wilton Spate, John O'Korn type battle? Like, are those quarterbacks better than the quarterbacks that are in the room now? There's just such a, I don't want to say a drop off, because, you know, give a chance for guys to prove themselves. But when you go from such a sure thing, and JJ even had his question marks, even heading into last season, even though he was the sure starter, you know, there were things in his game that people wanted to see more of, even if it was just Jim Harbaugh choosing to throw the ball more. But when you go from JJ, so consistent, a winner, you know, just the one loss against TCU in a game where, you know, outside of the two really bad throws, he had one of the better historic games for Michigan. And now, you know, top 15, top 10, maybe even a top 5 pick. And then you kind of look at who's on the field Saturday. It's a little, I guess the theme's disappointing this episode. Like, again, I hope that there's a good competition, and I hope that, you know, a guy like an Alex Orji or Jack Tuttle, when healthy, or, you know. Dark horse Jack Tuttle. I mean, they're saying he's been a starter in the Big Ten before.
For IU. But anyway, IU. Yeah.
No, Michael Penix was a starter for IU. And look, just imagine if people gave up on Michael Penix because he was a starter for IU. What if Jack Tuttle has a Michael Penix year in him?
All I'm saying is, it's a new coaching staff. You're replacing your starting quarterback and a lot of other pieces in your offense. I'm sure Sharon Moore is looking at this and thinking it wouldn't be a bad idea to just go with a proven, experienced, veteran quarterback, even if it's not the flashiest option. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm not going to necessarily advocate for that, especially because it feels stupid to do something like that, having, like, obviously never seen this quarterback battle. You know, I don't know what's going on. But I'm sure that's got to be part of the thought process. Like, if you're picking between, you know, Jack Tuttle and anybody else, basically, let's say it's Jack Tuttle, Alex Orji, who I know has some experience, but not quite like Jack Tuttle, and they're neck and neck, you probably give the edge to Jack Tuttle, right? I mean, just like thinking, you know what? We're going to go with the guy who's, like, been there more often. I don't know.
Well, just I think the hard thing too is we don't have Jack Tuttle available for the spring game. And so it's even a bigger question mark in terms of what fans have access to seeing, or even sometimes what media have access to seeing, is you're going to see, you know, say if Jack Tuttle in the back of Sharon Moore's mind is the sure starter just because he has the experience, and let the rest play out, whether it's a Denigal or a Davis. I mean, you name Davis Warren too. Got a couple of Davises now. That could be confusing for some. Even if Sharon Moore were to say Jack Tuttle is likely who I'm leaning towards, you at least are going to see a battle for QB2 this weekend. You have a transfer portal that's going to open up, you know, right before this spring game and be open for about 15 days. Now, you'd say that most quarterbacks have found a home, obviously, but there might be a QB2 that could be a QB1 somewhere else who's looking for a spot, or a veteran guy who, you know, sees the winged helmet and thinks there's an opportunity to come start, like a Sam Hartman at Notre Dame last year. But yeah, I mean, experience is always going to be more favorable if you want to get back into the Cade McNamara, take care of the ball, make the right decision, hand the ball off more often than you throw it. They're going to have to be creative, though, because, again, you don't have at least the playmaker that we learn to love in J.J. McCarthy, and there's such a big question mark. I think my biggest worry for the spring game, and not even maybe not even a worry, just an expectation, is this the weekend, or after this weekend, is this when our expectations change? Do we lose a little bit of hope? I think we're in the, you know, we could retweet the Rose Bowl stop every day. We could, you know, say something about national champs, but I think reality sets in a little bit this Saturday when the product on the field looks a little bit different than all of the star power from last year, especially in offense.
Before we go to basketball, because we were just talking about J.J. McCarthy, got me thinking. I want to ask you, do you have a team that you hope drafts him?
Not really. For some reason, a team I don't want him to go to is the Washington Commanders.
Okay.
I don't know. I've never, whether when they're the Redskins, now when they're the Commanders, I just can't get excited about that team, or really sports in DC in general. I guess if I had to go somewhere, it'd be Oakland or New England. I mean, New England try to do the Tom Brady thing and they take a chance on him. Obviously, that'd be a really high draft pick. So I guess I'm between Oakland and New England. What about you?
I'm leaning Broncos. And I think fit-wise, it probably makes the most sense. And, you get in there with Sean Payton, who I know doesn't have a tremendous reputation right now, but it seems like a place where you wouldn't necessarily, like, send a quarterback to die.
Whereas
maybe Washington is that place.
I think having Sean Payton's experience with Drew Brees for a guy like J.J. McCarthy or any quarterback in any draft outside of Russell Wilson, who's, you know, an experienced veteran and they didn't get along. But I think if you're a young guy and you look at what Drew Brees was able to do, just even strictly numbers wise, even if the playoff success wasn't always there, and Denver as a city with the fan base, you know, Mile High, I think that could be a really fun place to play. If I had to pick, though, if I could pick anybody, it'd be, you know, trade away Justin Herbert and send him with Jim Harbaugh and
the
Los Angeles Chargers, if we're being really picky. And if not, you know, let's move on from Hendon Hooker, put JJ as Jared Goff's backup. And then when you call for Jared Goff's head because he's, you know, only second to Patrick Mahomes in numbers, and it still makes you mad, then at least you have J.J. McCarthy in the background.
I think Denver is a more meditation-friendly place, too, rather than
honestly,
Washington.
Off that alone, Denver seems like a sure thing.
Absolutely. Basketball, Derek, guys pulling out of the transfer portal. It seems like they want to stick around. George Washington III, probably most notably there.
Well, that leads me to my question.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I said pre-show that I have a question for you. You bring up George Washington III. If I were to ask you, as of now, who is still on the roster, technically, officially, however you want to, you know, slice it, give me your answers.
Okay, so there's George Washington III.
Solid.
There's Will Cheddar.
Super solid. I wouldn't be surprised if that's all you get, and that's okay, because I think that's where most, even like great fans, probably only know those two as sure things, because it's been the only ones that are like really clear. But now you got to start thinking of who isn't in the transfer portal, who hasn't declared for the draft. Got anyone else?
And I'm gonna say, let me be honest and say that I cheated a tiny bit, because I already had the scholarship chart up, but the only one I feel like I maybe could have gotten was Jace Howard.
That's kind of where I wanted.
You'd have to think, like, that's surprising that he hasn't, you know, gone into.
Sometimes I wonder,
portal.
And he shared. I didn't see many people talk about this, but on Instagram he shared a series of photos, and then like the last clip was of Pat Riley. I'm gonna butcher it, but basically saying like, you know, without saying it this way, we're in this together or something. And it almost alluded to that he's not going anywhere, you know, job's not finished type of thing. But then I was like, there was like no chatter about it from what I saw, you know, when you go to the blogs or the
I mean,
the Twitters,
to be
the
honest,
X's.
No chatter, because if Michigan's season gets much better next year, I don't know how big of a role Jace Howard has in it.
Right. You know? And I agree, but I guess that's my like follow-up question is, what is Jace Howard's role? Shall he stay? Because there are a lot of people who thought, you know, his pops was playing him because he knew that this was it. And he had a lot of run in some games, or maybe he shouldn't have, in the Big Ten tournament specifically. You know, at what point, you know, if you're accepting
role?
That he's staying, which I think all power to him, if he wants to graduate from University of Michigan, like I would hate for a Howard, you know, Juwan Howard's son to be pushed away because Juwan Howard's no longer there. I don't even think Juwan Howard would want that. I don't think Juwan Howard wants Jace Howard to go to another school and graduate from another school. But in terms of playing time, or what kind of role would a Dusty May have for him, or feel like he owes him because his dad got fired, like, what do you think Jace Howard's role is, and how can he, as a player person, especially with some of the maybe controversy that led to, you know, Juwan, his dad sticking up for him with John Sanderson, like, what's his role and how can he do something for the team moving forward?
He's got to be a hustle, intense defense, rebound guy. You know, you stick him in at the four, maybe, as, you know, get him some backup minutes. You think about really tough big matchups, like maybe not necessarily to the extent of like you're playing Zach Edey and got to piece things together, but you have those matchups where it really benefits you to have somebody like Jace Howard who can go in and hopefully defend well and physically, and you're not necessarily worried about 3 fouls in 7 minutes or something like that, but who's going to get you some boards and who's going to, you know, not stop the ball on offense and stuff like that. I think that's probably the role.
I mean, how I see it is I think he gets a pretty decent standing ovation at like a senior night.
Also, like, let him tip. Let him go up for and one game. That's what you know. What does Dusty May owe him for the school firing his dad? You're like, go out there. You're competing for the tip tonight. Oh, anyway, go ahead.
I think there's a lot of people that are like, what's he doing around? Why is he still on the roster? Why would you give a scholarship spot to him? A lot of people surprised he was even on scholarship. I think they just thought Jace Howard doesn't get a lot of minutes, doesn't seem to be, you know, competing at a high level like some of these guys. He must be a walk-on. You know, it is a roster spot, but, you know, I'm kind of in between, like, some continuity is probably better than none. And if anything, even if he's not going to get a ton of minutes, the minutes he plays could be meaningful. And I think, you know, again, brings a ton of experience, especially with, you know, I'm sure he is a pain to go up against in a practice. Just, you know, guys who aren't going to get a lot of minutes are, you know, always going to, you know, just make life miserable on any sort of starter. And more than anything, he probably has something to prove. If he's staying, you know, he's going to want to see the floor. And so, you know, he's probably going to be working harder than ever. I mean, that's a guy that, you know, he has some decisions to make. You know, do you keep playing basketball after Michigan? No, you're likely, you know, you're not going to get drafted. It's going to be, you know, hard to even see him in the G League, but, you know, he could play overseas, give a lot of effort, you know, be a hardworking cat on the team. And, you know, Will Cheddar too. He's like, I think that's also where I'm at.
Hardworking
like,
cat on the team.
Will Cheddar. Well, I feel like we joked about this. Like, you know, we were talking about who could you build around and who's likely to stay. And I kind of messaged you when he announced that, you know, you're building around Cheddar Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a different system, he could be, you know, a really valuable player, but it's, you know, as of now, like that's who you're excited about.
If Will Cheddar is starting next season, Michigan is not winning more than like 12, 13 games.
What about if George Washington III is starting? Because I think a lot of people are like, oh, great guy to retain, you know, great out of the last recruiting class. Dude's held like 2 minutes a game, if that.
I know, but I think he brings you much better stuff defensively. And if you get him going, you know, get his shot, that is way easier for me to see a path for him than it is for Will Cheddar.
And I agree, but Will Cheddar being a part-time starter, could you call him?
I suppose, yeah.
After Olivia Kamwa went out, I guess he full-time starter. Like that guy comes back maybe just because he wants to finish his business where he started. You know, same could be said for Jace Howard. But, I mean, these guys have had to have a conversation with Dusty May. Like, I don't think Dusty May is like, hey, Will Cheddar, need you back. You know, need you in our starting five. Like, Will Cheddar off the bench playing less minutes? Is that a happy Will Cheddar? Is he glad he's made that decision? Or do you think that Dusty May sees him as a, you know, a sixth man of the year potential fringe starter?
If you know what, who knows what the recruiting pitch is exactly, but yeah, it's kind of hard to imagine like what were the words that got this done, or were, and, you know, maybe I don't know,
like, and like, is there, what's the conversation like? So Rick Pitino comes into St. John's, right? And he basically is like, same with Coach Prime, Colorado. Basically like, you know, some of you guys aren't going to be here. Half the team's gone. And I think in St. John's case, I felt like
crazy.
The whole team was gone. Like maybe Dusty May, whether it's because it's Juwan Howard's son or Will Cheddar, you know, an experienced all sportsmanship, you know, Big Ten selection. Like, is the conversation, your spot is still yours because you're on the team, you're at the school? You know, is Dusty May kind of a, you know, we're going to encourage you to transfer type of guy? Like, just to be able to be a part of any part of that conversation. And maybe we'll learn that sooner than later when some media days come around. But it's just like, what are those conversations with a Jace Howard, with a Will Cheddar like? Because I would imagine they looked a little differently than with a George Washington, to your point. Because George Washington, underutilized, probably should have seen a lot more floor time. And you can see the potential and the potential usage of him. So I think that's a pitch to keep him around, likely because he was going to get, you know, plenty of opportunities elsewhere. I just don't personally see the conversation with a Will Cheddar going the same. Like, hey, got to keep you on the squad because I know Duke's going to come calling if I don't, you know, recruit you first and foremost.
I know how we can settle this. Next episode, you be coach. I'll role play Will Cheddar.
Oh,
and maybe Jason.
I haven't prepared for a show in 5 years, and I will prepare for the next show.
Unless you want me to be coach.
Oh, I'm good. I got Dusty May down, I think.
Okay. We don't have to do their voices.
No.
I'll say that. That might be a little weird. We're coming up on 25 minutes here, Derek. Before we go, wanted to ask you how you feel about these Detroit Tigers. They are currently, as we speak, knotted at zero with the Rangers after three innings, I believe, in Detroit. But early on here, how are we feeling?
Let's just say that I went to the second home game of the year. There's only their second loss at the time. And just so disappointing to see him not score a run. And so that kind of has made me feel an early sense of frustration after an, you know, early feeling of hope when you start as well as they did, even against bad teams, right?
Yeah.
I think that they are in a much better situation. I think a lot of questions are being answered, but it's hard to, you know, you're kind of between, do they have the Detroit Lions season in them, or are they going to be as bad as they've been for years? And so I'm right caught in the middle. I just hope they're playing meaningful baseball throughout the year, and they love scoring runs in bunches late. Now it's like, hey, let's go into the ninth 0-0, and then let's win 5-0. It's like, let's spread out the runs, spread out the fun, you know, a little bit more fun for fans to, like, you know, tune in and see a walk-off, or, you know, a lot of runs in the top of the ninth, or, you know, putting up runs in the top of the 11th and then holding on. You know, just, you know, put away teams early. Like, we don't need to be 0-0 tonight. You know, this game might very well be 0-0 an hour after we, you know, hang up this call. And that's kind of Tigers baseball this year. A lot of question marks, but you can see some of them start to be potentially answered. Really every question outside of why is Javier Baez still on the squad. But, you know,
dude,
another time, another place, I guess.
I don't know why. Last thought here before we go.
And why is he putting his ear to the crowd? Like, I hear the boos, you should support. Dude, you are so overpaid for playing that bad. Don't let me hear you with the home Comerica crowd. Like, that's not going to do you any favors.
Okay. So you're a Major League Baseball pitcher. Javier Baez steps up to the plate. Why are you throwing anything but sliders 2 feet off the plate, preferably in the dirt? You should, like, Javier Baez should not see a strike, should not see anything that could be mistaken for a strike in that at bat, right?
Right. And now picture being the pitcher who gives up the home run to Javier Baez. Like, oh man, that's got to be a confidence killer for the next 5 outings.
You're that guy. Yeah.
You let the one guy hit a home run on the Tigers that you just don't want to allow to hit a home run.
No. No. Next time we get back, Derek, we'll break down the Michigan spring game.
That, and hopefully maybe you have some you'll have some more answers when I ask you who's on the Michigan roster.
Hopefully. And hopefully they're, like, good positive, you know.
Hey, you know, this is Monday evening at what, 7 PM, 7:30.
Yeah.
So reliable sources, they say, from one of the you know, the main paid recruiting sites, say expecting a lot of things by midweek to finalize. So we'll see, you know, might be back in a week, 2 weeks, three. Hopefully Dusty May has got a few guys and we can reenact the Dusty May Will Cheddar conversation.
I'm ready. Look forward to that. Definitely. Until then, take care out there. Go Blue.
Go Blue.